Yeah.
Bill Nye.
The science guy. Bill.
Bill. Bill. Bill.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your dry brushing, cookie baking, looking up spells on the internet to perform friend.
And I am Bethany, your still sweating even though it's fall, cookie eating, sleep deprived friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
Kathleen, last week, in my What I Learned This Week segment, I told you about this mysterious syndrome where people were dying in their sleep from what appeared to be nightmares. I'm going to tell you all about it today.
Oh, wah-ha.
Wah-ha-ha. Kathleen, what about you? What are you talking about today?
And I just learned about this new breathing technique called 5-3-3.
Which sounds like a new K-pop band.
It does sound like...
I love all 13 members of 5-3-3.
And it can help you get control of your anxiety. If you're an athlete, it can help you perform better.
Oh, wow.
And so then I kind of did a snowball roll into the world of controlling your breathing.
Whoa.
And breathing with purpose and how it can change your life.
Whoa.
So that's what I'm going to talk about today.
David Blaine does that. Do you remember when David Blaine held his breath for like 5 minutes on the Oprah Winfrey show?
Yes.
Or like 30 minutes. How long did he hold his breath? Wait.
Was he underwater? Didn't he do it in Times Square too?
He did something in Times Square. He stood on top of a pole or something in Times Square. And then he like was in a David Blaine, Oprah, holding breath.
What would be your trick?
Mine
would be shampooing my hair without getting it in the wine in the shower.
That's very good. Mine would probably, I can lay down and then stand back up with a water bottle balanced on my forehead.
No, you can't.
Yeah, there's a video somewhere on my Instagram. He held his breath for 17 minutes.
17 minutes. Yeah. He's not human. No, there's a straw somewhere involved in there. It's clear. The cameras can't see it. There's no way.
It's crazy.
That's like brain damage territory. I want to go back to this. You can stand up with a water bottle on your forehead.
Yeah, I think it was Gigi Hadid did it during an interview, like a late night show interview. Mm. And I was like, I wonder if I can do that. And I can, turns out.
If it's good enough for Gigi Hadid, it's good enough for you.
Exactly. Tip is, it has to be a new water bottle. Like not like one of the ones that you carry around, but like a plastic one filled with water. If it's not filled with water, it's harder to balance because the water sloshes and it's going to throw it off. You want it to be a full water bottle, preferably one that has like a base, not the four prongs on the bottom, like a Sprite bottle
has. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you too can balance a water bottle on your forehead.
Well, no, I know what I'm doing this Saturday night.
I know, it's going to be fun.
Speaking of which, this water bottle that you carry around, how do you say it's Takeya?
I have no idea. It's T-A-K-E-Y-A, Takeya?
So Takeya? I spotted some celebrities on the Instagrams with that same water bottle, just
really?
In other colors. And I was like, is Bethany on to a new celebrity water bottle trend that
I don't know
about?
I looked up and Wirecutter told me that this was the second best water bottle to buy. The first one was obviously Hydro Flask, but I wanted something that had a spigot and Hydro Flask. You had to buy the spigot separately, and I'm like, that's dumb.
That is stupid. It's a water bottle.
It should all
be sold together.
So, so these are at Target, too, I found out, because I got another one, a smaller one, at Target.
I am due for a water bottle spring cleaning of my house.
You get the, like, in our old job, we got a lot of free water bottles that were not always the best quality, but like you didn't want to throw away.
I need to recycle a whole bunch of them and get myself a new one.
Yeah.
Hello, can you tell us about this very cool thing that you did over the weekend?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I had so much fun this weekend. The Global Citizen Festival was this weekend.
A huge concert here in New York City in Central Park.
Yeah, and it happens every year, and it's such a great organization. So the goal with Global Citizen is to end world poverty, basically, but there are so many different initiatives they take. So some groups are working on like getting clean water to areas that don't have access to clean water. Some are working to get feminine care products to girls who are in low-income areas where they miss school. And this is not just happening overseas. This is happening in America.
Yeah.
Girls are missing school because they they have their periods and they don't have products.
They don't have, that is so
it's amazing that
crazy.
You think about that happening someplace else, right? Yeah. Like so and a million other things, the environment and hunger and all this stuff. So they put on this huge concert and there's these massive stars. Beyonce and Jay-Z performed one year. Coldplay is always there. Chris Martin's a huge supporter. And Hugh Jackman and Deborah Lee Furness are huge supporters. So the for 4 years, I've done their voiceover, so the live voiceover, Voice of God, at the festival during the concert. And
so
it's
you
really
say,
fun.
You go, up next, Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. Yes. And it's really fun. And I love doing it. So I was there.
Up next, Bill Nye and Anna Kendrick.
Uh-huh. Bill Nye came in a green plaid suit.
He is one of my goddamn favorite people ever.
I love him. I love how grouchy he's gotten in his old age.
So grouchy.
He just does not give a fuck anymore.
You know, I didn't have cable growing up. It's like the one thing that's really scarred me the most in my childhood. Yeah. I mention it all the time.
Yeah, I know. It's been rough for you.
But I had Bill Nye on PBS. And so that was like, he was my afternoon date.
Yeah.
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
So I went to Miami over the weekend.
Yes, how
and
was it?
I've always thought that Miami was not my scene.
It's for insers.
That is what I thought, Bethany. Yeah. Okay, so I went with my friend Kristen, and she's like, hey, girl, have this room. It's 40% off. Do you want to share it with me?
Nice.
And I was like, yes, I want to share it with you. We stayed at this place. It was the most amazing hotel ever. I've never booked a vacation to the same place while I'm still there. I've never done that before. When I was in Miami, when I was staying at the Standard, I booked another trip to the Standard.
Oh, wow.
Like to come back in a couple of months because it was just so relaxing and it wasn't the Miami that I was expecting.
Okay.
The hotel is LGBTQ forward.
Love.
It's like sex positive. It's everybody who works there loves working there.
Really?
And then here's my highlight. Here's the highlight, Bethany. They have a Peloton treadmill.
A treadmill?
A treadmill. So we're all familiar with the Peloton bikes,
obviously,
right?
Obviously.
They're like for rich people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the treadmill's for rich people too. But I had the most fun ever running 3 miles this weekend.
Wait.
At the gym at the Standard Hotel on the Peloton treadmill. I took a class. It's like this trainer is on the screen in front of me and he's like, yeah, you can do it. We're going to run for 3 minutes. It's like 30 seconds down, 1 minute down. We got 15 seconds left. And they just basically it's like your built-in hype girl or hype guy.
Wow.
On the treadmill. I went back to the room immediately. And I looked it up, and it's $4,000.
I'm looking it up right now.
It's more than $4,000. I think it's $4,250.
But it's called, there's an article on Gear Patrol. Peloton releases a treadmill for people who hate treadmills.
Yes, I'm telling you. So you know when you're on the treadmill at the gym, like I have a Planet Fitness membership that I never use. But
right,
when I
same.
Do go and use it, when I'm using the treadmill, it's like, to get the speed to go up or down. And if I'm really doing a full out sprint, I have to jump off and put my feet on the side to bring the speed down.
Yeah.
Peloton has dials.
Oh.
So when you're slowing down, all you have to do is just brush the dial with your hand and it slows down the machine so fast. You quite literally can go from like a full out sprint to like a fast walk without it feeling uncomfortable.
I mean, it looks very sleek.
God damn it. I wish I was rich.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The crazy thing about this is the treads on it, it's not your typical treadmill where it's like a belt.
Yeah.
It looks like tread. So it looks like a tank. It looks like the wheels on a tank.
Yes.
Where it's like the slats that are all lined up and
it
they're going around.
It is the coolest thing ever. If you have some sort of sugar daddy or like some sort of big check coming for you for your Christmas bonus.
Yeah.
Put this on your list. It was the best thing ever.
$4,000.
I know. Right? And that doesn't include the classes.
Wait, you have to pay for the classes?
You have to pay for the classes after you buy the treadmill.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Why do you have to? What? That's insane.
I know. It's crazy.
That's insane. Here's my pet peeve.
Uh-huh.
Do not make me pay for a subscription for a thing that I already bought.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I should. There's this company that I want to work with because they have this new thing,
okay.
This new device
okay.
that I love,
mm-hmm.
but you have to buy a subscription to the info that gets pumped to the device.
Get out of here.
So, and it's like $100. It's like $100 a year or a month. I can't remember, but it felt like too much.
A month?
I'm trying to remember.
It's like buying a Vitamix, and then it's like, your Vitamix will not work when you plug it in unless you buy a subscription to our smoothie channel.
Quite literally. Yeah. That is one thing I don't understand. And if you work in tech and you understand why that is a thing, please let me know.
Because they make the money. They make the money.
And like, this is the Peloton treadmill is a little bit different in that you can still use it without the thing.
Yes, of course.
This product that I was thinking of working with, you can't use it without the subscriptional stuff.
Mm.
So it's literally useless unless you continue to pay for the subscription of the stuff that gets pumped into this thing.
Gotcha.
That's being vague enough.
No, yeah, it's being vague. So it's fall. It's basically October now.
Allegedly.
It's October tomorrow. I want to tell you about this beauty product that I found in my kitchen that I've been using in my bathroom.
Is it pumpkin spice toothpaste?
It is not. So it's dry skin season. Like, my face is already starting. The skin is already starting to crack, even though it's not cold outside, because my body hates itself. If you have expired oils in your kitchen.
Yeah. Olive oil, et cetera?
Olive oil, coconut oil. For me, it was almond oil.
Almond
oil. I've been using it as lotion.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And it is the best thing ever. I may never go back to lotion.
That's a really good idea.
So check your cabinets. You don't want to put that expired olive oil in your salad dressing.
No.
It's expired. Use it on your skin.
Can you use like Crisco or vegetable oil?
You know, Crisco is good for certain sexual situations, I hear.
Like what? Like which ones?
Like, you know.
Specifically.
The ones where you need to slide back and forth with ease.
Oh, I'm so sex negative. I can't go to the standard in Miami. I'm too sex negative.
Bethany, I'm going to Crisco up your body.
No. I mean, I'm
going to lay my body on top of your body.
I mean, look, you can always lay your body on my body.
I'm going to press my breasts into the small of your pack.
Wait, where are you laying?
Very far down.
I'm going to put my boobs under your knees.
My feet get hot. I can't have them underneath the blanket.
I'm going to put my ankles on your wrists. And then I'm going to put my waist on your ankles.
Put my toes in your ears, girl, so you can't hear how loud I'm screaming.
And then I'm going to put my forehead on the palm of your hand. Oh, girl, you have no idea what's coming.
I'm going to take your temperature. Bethany, do you love warm alcohol?
Oh, gosh.
Maybe like a hot toddy.
I like just, you know, a hot beer or hot white wine.
Hot Chardonnay.
Or just like a hot glass of whiskey.
So we've partnered up with the most amazing company. This is one of my favorite products ever that we've got to test out through this podcast. It's called Brewmate.
Brewmate is incredible because it's insulated drinkware. It's so stylish and it's designed to keep your favorite beverages ice cold all day long. They have wine bottles that you can pour a full bottle of wine into.
Yes.
Keeps your wine chilled all day long.
Bethany, it keeps your wine chilled for 24 hours.
It's nuts. They have growlers to keep your beer in. They have wine glasses. I have a coffee mug. I can put ice water in it. Keeps it nice and chilly.
Yeah. They have champagne glasses now too. Well, hello.
Hello.
So I had my Brewmate with me in the Catskills. I was on vacation up there and I had the Brewmate wine bottle and my Brewmate wine glasses.
Yeah.
People were stopping me at the pool to ask me what this was. I thought it was so cool.
It's so, so nice. You can carry it around. And also a lot of times like pools don't want you to bring glass.
Yes.
So this is perfect for the pool. And yeah, people are going to like stop you and ask,
if you
hey,
wanna
what's
drink,
going on?
If you want to drink in the park, you want to drink at like a, I don't know, 1-year-old's birthday party. You want to drink somewhere where maybe it's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Your Brewmate insulated ware is going to keep your drink really cold.
Yeah. So I have the wine insulator.
Oh.
Which is the wine one. And then the uncorked wine glasses, which are fantastic.
Oh, man. And the little like beer cups I had too.
Yep.
I took them to a barbecue. I showed up to a barbecue with my own cup.
Yep.
You know what? My beer was colder than the other one's beer.
Yeah. And you're classy. They come in a million different colors. Really cool. Really stylish for whatever your taste is or whoever you're giving them to. So don't settle for warm alcohol. Chill out with your favorite drinks all day long with Brewmate.
Visit brewmate.com and add the code TASTE, TASTE, to get 15% off of your first order.
That's 15% off your first order when you go to brewmate.com and then add the code TASTE.
The colors are really beautiful.
They're so pretty.
Yeah.
I got like the Tiffany blue.
Oh, I got them on too. Oh. Hey.
All right, Kathleen.
Yes.
I was listening to this podcast, which I really love. And if you like sort of spooky things, but that's not too dark. It's called Guide to the Unknown. It's very fun. It's a brother and sister. They do it together. And their chemistry is awesome. And they cover, they don't cover true crime. They cover spooky stuff. Ouija boards and what's the word I'm looking for? Urban legends and movies and stuff that's spooky.
Quite literally a guide to the unknown.
Literally a guide to the unknown. It's a great, great podcast. So they were doing an episode about the movie Nightmare on Elm Street.
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger.
God, my little brother was obsessed with that movie way earlier than we should have been allowed to watch it.
Yeah.
And he was it for Halloween when I think he was like 6 years old
that's
or something.
Too young.
And he had those these claws that he would put his hands into. My mom got them at Party City and it was like the knives.
Yeah.
And I remember him for a full year torturing me with that. But then my mom realized that if she put them on, she could like massage our scalps with the Freddy Krueger gloves. It was actually
need a massage.
Quite lovely.
Oh, I feel so, I can get tingles right now. Oh my gosh. So the movie is actually allegedly, according to Wes Craven, based on something that actually has happened in the past and may actually be currently happening. And it's this syndrome called sudden nocturnal death syndrome. It's also called sudden arrhythmic death syndrome. So SADS or SUDS, depending.
Sounds very scientific.
Yeah, it is. So if you don't know Nightmare on Elm Street, this demon is attacking and killing kids while they sleep, right?
Yes.
So you don't want to fall asleep or Freddy Krueger will get you in your sleep.
He'll, okay. Yeah, he'll kill you.
Right. So Wes Craven did an interview with Vulture.com in 2014, and he said that he had read an article in the LA Times about this family who had escaped the killing fields in Cambodia and had managed to get to the U.S. So things were fine, and then suddenly the young son was having very disturbing nightmares. He told his parents he was afraid that if he slept, the thing chasing him would get him, so he tried to stay awake for days at a time. When he finally fell asleep, his parents thought the crisis was over. Then they heard screams in the middle of the night. By the time they got to him, he was dead. He died in the middle of a nightmare. Here was a youngster having a vision of a horror that everyone older was denying. That became the central line of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Holy,
so that's a quote
smokes.
From Wes Craven. And most of the information from today is from Medium.com, this great article from 2017. I'll link it in our show notes. So this is what happened. In the late 1970s or early 1980s, this sudden unexplained death syndrome occurred among East Asian immigrants. So
in America.
Well, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Because the location is important. So the CDC in 1981 began tracking this rash of sudden unexplained nocturnal deaths, otherwise happening in healthy male immigrants who were originally from Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. Hmm. So this problem had not been seen in any other ethnic groups. It was really predominantly claiming men from these ethnic groups.
Gotcha.
All of the men averaged 33 years old. It was 104 men, one woman. So mostly dudes.
Mostly
vastly
dudes.
Mostly dudes.
33. They're babies.
Yeah. The peak year of these deaths was 1981. It was 26 men, and they were often Hmong refugees from the highlands of northern Laos, and they had just died in their sleep. They would do postmortem, postmortem checkups on them.
Yeah, cut the bodies open, see what's going on.
And they couldn't find
what
was wrong. So here's a little history of these particular groups of people, and it plays a really big role.
Okay.
So the Hmong people of Laotian origin, who had fought for the Americans during the Vietnam War, once the Laotian government fell under communist rule, these Hmong people became targets of the government, of the regime.
Oh, because, they fought for America.
Right. So they had to flee under, like, risking death. They had to flee. So a lot of them came to the United States.
Gotcha.
And actually, when I was growing up, I'm from Western Wisconsin. We had a huge Hmong population in Western Wisconsin. So the majority of my friends in elementary school were Hmong.
Really?
Yeah. Because that we just had a lot of these, you know, kids and families coming in, and they were, you know, lovely.
Yeah,
they,
gotcha.
Some of my best friends growing up.
Because that's like a term that I've never heard before up until this conversation with you.
Yeah. So it's spelled H-M-O-N-G.
H-M-O-N-G.
Yeah. Hmong.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful culture. It's really worth looking into. So, but here's the main features of these cases where it was Hmong people who passed away. So number one, almost all of the dead were men, only one woman. They were all between 25 and 44. So the median age was 33. They were all recent arrivals to the U.S., median time was 17 months. They all died or at least became seriously unwell, specifically during sleep. And there were no obvious abnormalities found on autopsies. So
that is a spirit. That is a spirit, Bethany. It is not a medical thing. It's a there's an evil target.
We'll get there. Well, this is I hope this is interesting. So here's the basic theory behind sudden unexplained nocturnal death syndrome. It's that the Hmong men were dying as a result of extreme stress during episodes of sleep paralysis. So do you know a lot about sleep paralysis?
So I have been reading up on it, and basically it is my understanding that you're in a dreamlike state and then you wake up suddenly and you cannot move your whole body. Only your eyes can open and blink.
That's about it.
Okay.
Yep, that's about right. It's really, really scary. It's often accompanied by visual, auditory, and other types of sensory hallucinations. Yeah. So a lot of times when people think that they're being tormented by demons or they will wake up and they feel like there's a ghost on them and they'll report, like, I had this horrible paranormal experience.
Yeah.
Usually it's sleep paralysis because it's sometimes called old hag syndrome because you'll actually see an old woman sitting on your chest.
Yeah, so our taste bud Kayla, actually, I believe she left us a voicemail or was it an email? I was reading over something she sent us this week, probably yesterday, and it was about her experiencing sleep paralysis where she wakes up and she's laying on her stomach, which makes you even more vulnerable because, you know, your body doesn't bend backwards.
Yeah.
And she could only open her eyes and she saw like a dark figure in the corner of her room.
I've never had it. It sounds like the scariest thing. Have you ever had it, Kathleen?
No, never.
I can't even imagine the terror. Like, it's awful. So, but what this article says is that even though it's horrifying and it's so scary, it doesn't normally hurt you. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
So what were these men dying from if it wasn't sleep paralysis? So here's what they think. They think that the struggles and difficulties of fleeing persecution, having everything you know, basically you have to drop it and run for your life, that we should not underestimate how stressful that is to these people.
Yeah.
They had a huge amount of hardships, including new language, different employment issues, lots of employment problems.
New culture.
Totally new culture. With that came a change in generational roles and a change in gender roles.
Mm.
Plus, they have survivor's guilt. They have trauma. They have psychological disorders from the trauma. All of this affects these immigrants to varying degrees, but Hmong men in particular had their roles dramatically altered, according to this article. And there's been a lot of history in medical literature that crazy amounts of stress can cause death. So this isn't unheard of.
Well, yeah, that's basically what a heart attack is.
It's intense stress. And they say that's what it is. Like, it affects your heart. So here's the next thing. Mm-hmm. Here's another problem.
Mm-hmm.
So now word is spreading among these populations that Hmong men are dying in their sleep. So if this was you, what would you not want to do?
I would never want to go to sleep.
Exactly. So now there are reports of men using alarm clocks to wake them up regularly during the night so they don't fall asleep. Some were trying to avoid sleep altogether. So then this causes sleep deprivation.
Yeah, which is also just as unhealthy for you.
Yep, totally. And that increases the risk of sleep paralysis, which then increases the stress hormones that are being pumped out of you and puts more strain on your body, which puts a lot of strain on your heart.
It was just a never-ending cycle
exactly.
of terrible things.
Yes. Now, there are also some cultural things to take into consideration here. So according to this article, the traditional Hmong spiritual beliefs contain the idea that everything has a spirit or a consciousness.
Okay.
So when they had to leave their homeland, the Hmong people were feeling quite literally cut off from their ancestral spirits. And growing up, I asked my friend once, because I grew up super Christian.
Yeah.
Very, very Lutheran. And so I assumed kind of everyone was Christian.
Mm.
And I asked one of my friends who was Hmong, I said, you know, do you believe in God? And she said, we don't worship God. We worship our ancestors. We believe in our ancestors. Obviously, I'm not like an expert on the Hmong culture, but that was true, at least for her family.
Yes.
And so they believe that their ancestral spirits protected them from being attacked at night.
Yeah. And now they're not in their homeland anymore. And their ancestors, like,
they're cut off.
That was before the internet, where they could, like, ancestors could travel over Wi-Fi.
They can't travel over Wi-Fi. It's the 80s.
Yeah.
So they were really afraid that their ancestor spirits, who had normally protected them from harm, were not able to do that now.
I mean, I understand that. Anytime where I'm too far away from home, you get a little bit homesick. But this is tenfold because it's your entire religion is based on being in your homeland.
Yeah. So, yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So in their native country, the Hmong people would traditionally make sacrifices. So they would feed and they would give offerings to evil spirits to placate them, like keep themselves safe, like here, go get that, like stay away, please.
Small children, goats.
Right.
The right.
Exactly. You know, whatever you got to do. Twizzlers, whatever you're into.
Red Hots.
So, yeah, Red Hots. If I am ever a demon, I want to be placated with Red Hots.
I don't even like Red Hots.
They are so good.
No, they're terrible.
Until this moment, I forgot Red Hots were a thing.
It's garbage candy.
They're so good. Oh, I love them.
Get out of
when
here.
You get through the hot and then it's just sweet.
No, ew.
So good. I'll take all of
yours. I'll take popcorn instead.
Oh, God, so good. So if they didn't feed these evil spirits because they couldn't because they weren't home,
yeah.
Now they're concerned that this evil spirit is going to come to you and you don't have your ancestors to protect you.
This is something that you don't think of. This is not only a testament to how impactful moving was for the Hmong people, mm-hmm. but think about indigenous populations everywhere.
Yes.
The Native Americans.
Yep.
People who were traded as slaves.
Yep.
It's you're ripped away from everything that you know.
Yep.
And you're forced to live in a constant state of stress.
Yeah. Yes. And just because I feel like in America, we don't always have such a huge tie to our land.
Yeah. Well, because America's, compared to the rest of the world, America's just a toddler. We just learned to walk.
Yeah. So like I don't feel myself hugely connected to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
In like a spiritual way. However, we forget that that's not always the case. Like the Native Americans, they are tied to where they're from. And then if we rip them away, we don't know what spiritual beliefs have been created and, come from that area.
It was all based on the land that they were from. And then we were like, hey, you need to move.
Yeah. Yeah. And just because it doesn't apply to us. I mean, I think this isn't ultimately a story about like empathy and assuming you don't know everything about a different culture.
Yeah.
So that obviously brings more stress into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the reason why they think it attacks men.
Yeah.
All right. So there was a spirit
mm-hmm.
pronounced Dacho, and that was believed to be one of the nocturnal pressing spirits, the spirit that would sit on your chest, the spirit that would attack you at night.
Gotcha.
So Dacho traditionally seeks out men as individuals held accountable for not giving offerings, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So women experience some of these symptoms, but men typically the ones held accountable to this spirit. So now men are the ones who are terrified that they're cut off and now they're like, I am responsible. If this spirit doesn't get placated, it's my fault. I'm going to be the one who is attacked. That causes even more strain. Uh-huh. That causes even more stress. Ultimately, according to this Medium article, the mystery really hasn't been conclusively solved. It's likely that their hearts stopped as a number of factors, genetics, cultural beliefs, PTSD, the stress of being a new immigrant, but they never really fully figured it out.
Whoa.
But ultimately, what the article says is that it's likely that the combination of hearing news of the deaths partnered with Hmong spiritual beliefs created this like really scary narrative.
Of course.
And it was like this self-perpetuating thing where now you're hearing about all of these men dying. So then you're trying not to sleep and then you're constantly
stressed out.
Yeah, it's like when there's this awful cycle.
A serial killer on the loose and everybody on the news is like, don't leave your homes.
Yeah.
Everybody's stressed out over like little sounds, even though, it's probably just a mouse.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, this story inspired tons of newspaper headlines. The CDC looked into it. And of course, Wes Craven heard about it. And that is what inspired the Freddy Krueger movies.
Hollywood was like, cha-ching.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen Freddy Krueger in such a long time. I wonder, I was having this conversation with my friends recently, to go back and watch some of these old school scary movies, would they still be scary now?
That's a really good question. I think some of them hold up and some of them don't. I feel like I've never actually seen Nightmare on Elm Street.
What? Bethany, you need to rent this ASAP.
Yeah, there were certain kinds of scary things that were a little bit too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because in this episode of Guide to the Unknown, they talk about that too. They reference it as like wet puppets. I didn't like anything that looked wet. So like Freddy Krueger always seemed like wet, slippery,
like
greasy.
Face is kind of melting off.
Yeah.
But he's wearing like a rugby sweater.
He is wearing kind of, I have a similar sweater.
Like a red and black striped sweater.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of cute. You could get used for that, past like the Halloween season.
It's darling. Dennis gave me his old one. It was from H&M. It's like a Freddy Krueger darling sweater.
Maybe Freddy Krueger plays Lacoste in the spring.
Lacrosse, you mean?
Oh, Lacrosse.
Lacoste is a great brand.
Edit.
No, don't edit. Keeping. But yeah, so anyway, I thought that was really interesting. I had never heard of it before this, but yeah, it's fascinating. There have been books written on it. And it's happened in several Asian populations, but the Hmong were like a huge case study that they talked about. Yeah. So I think it's really worth looking into.
I just pulled up this website, the U.S. National Library of Medicine, and there's like a whole thing in there about, yeah, sudden death syndrome.
Yeah.
Among, yeah, Southeast Asian refugees.
It's fascinating. So again, go to our show notes and I'll link you over to a couple of articles that I found really useful. I'll also link you over to the Guide to the Unknown episode because we like lifting up other podcasts, and that's it's a really good one. And it's a great episode, so I think you'll really like it.
A brother-sister duo.
Yeah, I know.
That's so interesting to me. I can't work with people who are in my family.
No, you and Hot Bert would never do.
Your hot
brother Bert. How's he doing?
You know what, Bethany? He actually said something very funny to me the other day.
Did he say how hot? Was he like, I know how hot I am?
So he's living in the Middle East, and there's a lot of stray cats where he's staying, so he's named them all. No. And he sent me this text the other day. He's like, I just got chased by Mr. Rogers. So if you really want to throw your friends and family off, start sending them random texts like, I just got chased by Tom Cruise.
Oh, my God. I sent Dennis a text yesterday because I'm an asshole. I said, Dennis, I have a huge problem. And he texted me back, what's wrong, honey? ! Question mark. I said, sigh. My loneliness is killing me. And I must confess, I still believe. And that was the point where I was like, okay, I hate you.
Poor Britney. She's been in the news lately and like not for the better.
I know. I'm worried about her.
I read recently that, you know, that infamous Britney Madonna kiss that happened at the VMAs?
Yes.
It was like in 2003.
That was about right. Yeah.
Madonna originally wanted J-Lo. Yeah, but it ended up being better with Britney.
Britney, I would have made out with Britney in a heartbeat.
I would rather make out with Britney than J-Lo, even now, I think.
I'm very sexually attracted to Britney, now.
I feel like J-Lo would be totally grossed out by me, and I feel like Britney would be like, yeah, we're friends.
I feel like J-Lo does have like a higher standard of physical perfection that no one can live up to.
Yeah, Britney would be like, no, do it, Bethany, you do it. Cause I'm stronger.
That song.
Yesterday.
That song helped me get over Tom Rohde.
I do a terrible Britney Spears impression.
So do I.
Thanks for this lesson about Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, I hope it was interesting.
I've been to the house in L.A.
Somebody the Freddy Krueger house.
Yeah, somebody made me go.
I didn't know that. Mm. Was it a real house?
Yeah, nobody was sleeping there though. Thank God.
I can understand why. Mm-hmm. All right, we all love to refresh our snack drawers, but when is the last time you refreshed your sock drawer?
Yeah, if you can't remember, it's probably time for an upgrade.
Bombas socks are made with comfort innovations like arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed. Oh, they're so nice. That's all sock speak for super comfortable.
And they come in hundreds of colors and styles, making them perfect for men, women, and kids.
Including super high knee socks in black, my favorite color. And because we are getting into the season, I've finally been able to pull out my knee-high black Bombas. They're so comfortable and they're so stylish and I love them.
Bombas has ruined every other sock for me.
They have. I know. Same.
I only want to wear Bombas. I'm wearing my Bombas right now.
Uh-huh. You feel victimized if you don't wear Bombas socks when you go back. Bombas has a new line of merino wool socks that are made from soft, warm, and naturally moisture-wicking merino wool designed with all of Bombas' classic comfort features.
From keeping cool and dry on your morning run to staying comfortable in your office's freezing air conditioning, Bombas socks are ready to work as hard as you do.
And for every pair of socks you buy, Bombas will donate a pair to someone in need.
Buy your Bombas today at bombas.com/taste.
When you do that, you're going to get 20% off your first purchase. So that's bombas.com/taste for 20% off.
Again, that's bombas.com/taste. It's the fall. It's time to update your fall wardrobe.
Yep, but guess what?
What?
Who has all the money?
No, not me.
Right? And what Kathleen and I didn't realize is that the fashion industry is one of the most polluting industries in the world.
That's why I like buying clothes secondhand from ThredUp.
When you shop at ThredUp, which is the world's largest online thrift store, you can buy clothes for much less money. Shoes. You can also sell all of your old stuff. Like I've sold a bunch of stuff on ThredUp.
They have 35,000 brands like Anthropologie, Ann Taylor, J. Crew, Coach, Lululemon, all for up to 90% off of their estimated retail value.
And if you're someone who doesn't doesn't necessarily normally do secondhand shopping, here's why ThredUp is so great. You don't have to dig through racks and racks of stuff. ThredUp does all of that for you. You go on their website, you just filter by your size, what brand you're looking for, maybe how much you want to spend, and they bring up everything that's good for you.
Yeah, you know, some of my favorite things that I own are from ThredUp because they're designer pieces that I never would have been able to purchase new.
Yeah.
But when they come to my house and I open my box, I'm always so surprised because they're in amazing condition.
Oh, they look like brand new. A lot of stuff still has tags on it.
Yeah, that's because ThredUp is adamant about quality control.
For a limited time, ThredUp is offering an Acquired Taste listeners a special deal for an extra 30% off your first order when you go to ThredUp.com/taste.
That's on top of the already low prices. So hurry up and take advantage. That is ThredUp.com/taste.
ThredUp.com/taste. There's no A in there. ThredUp, ThredUp.com/taste for an extra 30% off. Terms apply.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
So I'm in this thing. I don't want to call it a fight, but I'm in like a tiff with a friend.
Okay.
And I was not hyperventilating, but you know when you're angry and you take a... And you mutter to yourself, and you're taking all these deep breaths in, these sharp, deep breaths. And then I tried to lay down to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And I was still so worked up about it. I passed out eventually, but I didn't calm my body enough down to that I could wake up with a clear mind. I woke up with a head that was still full of anger.
That's awful. And I think most of us know that feeling where you're just so mad. It's like electricity in your body and you can't get it out.
And it's just like a trivial tiff that I'm having with a close friend. And ultimately, she is one of my, you know, a sister from another mother.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that
sister from another mother is right. Yeah, that's right.
And we will get over this. But it got me thinking, if I had just taken a second to calm myself, to breathe a little bit more deeply. Mm-hmm. You know how at the end of every episode when you tell us to take a deep breath?
Yeah.
How freaking good that feels.
So good.
So I started looking up breathing techniques and I came across a couple of interesting articles. The first one from verywellmind.com.
Okay.
Your breathing can control your panic and your anxiety.
I believe it. Why don't any of us do it?
So breathing is a necessity of life, right? We do it without even thinking about it. But when we breathe, our body receives oxygen and then releases carbon dioxide.
Right.
This is not, nobody's like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know.
This is like first grade stuff.
But, and this is something I've never really thought about carbon dioxide before. It's a waste product. You quite literally need to efficiently get rid of it. And when you have things like really bad anxiety and you have panic attacks and fatigue and other physical and emotional disturbances, some of those are caused by not properly getting rid of your carbon dioxide waste.
Oh.
And you're not getting oxygen to your brain because you're hyperventilating. Your breathing technique is so totally off and it's throwing off your whole body. It's throwing off your emotional state, your physical state.
I always forget that that's a waste product. I don't think of it that way.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We should, with all of the environment and global warming stuff going on. Everybody's talking about CO2 as a waste product, but we never think about it as a waste product in terms of like balancing our body and like treating our body well and our mind well. So there are two types of breathing. And if you're a singer, you're an actor, you already know this. Thoracic, which is just chest breathing. Mm-hmm. It's like superficial breathing. And then your diaphragmic breathing, which is all comes from your abdominals. This article on verywellmind.com by Cheryl Ankrum, she says that when people are anxious, they tend to take rapid, shallow breaths that come directly from the chest. So everything is shallow. Nothing's coming from your gut. So when you're feeling anxious, you are breathing this way and you're not expelling CO2 waste.
Yeah.
And it's throwing off your whole body, therefore just making your anxiety even worse. So let me tell you about this new technique of breathing. A couple of techniques, but this is the first one. It's called 5-3-3 technique for the up and atom morning attitude. So if you need to like wake up in the morning and you want like a really good start, you can kind of do this breathing technique in the morning.
Okay.
Especially if you're one of those people who has a really long to-do list. It's like the first thing that pops up into your head in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
The second you wake up, you're like, oh, I have to do this and this and this and this. It was invented by a basketball coach. Her name is Dominique Williams. And she designed this 5-3-3 breath technique to focus your energy before your day truly begins. And it's also good for athletes. So she says 5-3-3 is a meditation designed in the spirit of Buddhist meditation and martial arts training. And the method uses breath work as a concentration for mindfulness and insight, as well as increased endurance.
Ooh, we need all of these things.
We need all of these things.
Yes, because we are, you and me, Kathleen, we are elite athletes.
And since she's the basketball coach, she uses it to motivate, you know, the people on her team.
Yeah.
So 5-3-3 is quick and clipped inhales and then long drawn out exhales. So you want to go through it with me?
Yes, please.
Step one, take 5 deep breaths, inhaling through the nose, out through the mouth, with the intention to completely fill and release the body of air.
Do they have to be fast or like
no,
just
these
breaths?
No, these are deep breaths. So okay. all the way into your abdominal muscles.
Okay. 5 of them.
5 of them. So you're okay. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Gentle listener, I hope you're participating.
My nose makes a lot of noise.
Round number 3, in through the nose, out through the mouth. All right, last one. Now take 3 fast breaths. Ooh, say that 3 times fast. Now take 3 fast breaths, inhaling through the nose and pushing the breath out on the exhale through the mouth. Now take 3 loud breaths, inhaling through the nose and then releasing loudly with sound out the mouth. Repeat as many times as desired. So 3.
Okay.
Ah.
Okay. 2.
2 more. Ah. 1 more. Let it all out, baby. Let it all out.
Oh, that felt so, I'm so lightheaded.
So are you refreshed right now?
It feels so good.
It felt so good. And obviously, like, we, like, broke it up. We were talking in between and we were laughing.
But, yeah.
5-3-3. 5 deep breaths, 3 fast breaths, 3 loud breaths.
That is great.
In through the nose, out through the mouth, all of them.
I apologize for how whistly my nose is,
I know,
by the way.
You need a Claritin, girlfriend.
I've always had a messed up nose. That's so cool. Yeah. And she just like came up with that.
She came up with that. So that's for athletes. So if you're like getting ready to go to the gym,
yeah,
do that. So I started doing a deeper dive into breathing techniques. Have you ever felt like you just can't get enough air in your lungs?
Yes.
That happens to me. That happened to me last month when I left my job. I was going through this thing where I just couldn't inhale deeply enough. You know when you take a really deep breath and you get to sort of that apex where you can't take in any more air and you get that feeling of satisfaction?
Yep.
I wasn't, no matter what I did, I couldn't get that feeling of satisfaction. So obviously I was alive. I was breathing. I was moving. But it was just my body was sort of in this like panic mode for, God, at least 2 weeks where I felt like I wasn't getting enough air.
Yeah.
So there's a yoga teacher. His name is Lucas Rockwood. He has a TED Talk, and I'm going to link everything in our show notes.
Okay.
He has a TED Talk about how breathing exercises, like the one that we just did, the 5-3-3 technique, are one of the most powerful ways to control your mind and your body.
Jeez.
When you're about to be in danger or when you see someone getting hurt, just think about, you just saw someone get hit by a car. What's your first response?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You breathe in.
Totally. It's like when you drive with someone who always does that and you always think you're about to get into a car accident because they're always going, and your immediate thought is panic.
Like my mom, she grabs like everything around her. She grabs like the armchair and the door and she's like,
and it's like, what?
And I'm like, Mom, shut up.
Stop it.
Shut up. Stop it. I'm a fine driver.
There's a mailbox dragging from your bumper.
So Lucas Rockwood, he points out that some of us are breathing like that all day long and we don't even recognize it. So our body is quite literally always in that fight or flight breathing stance.
Guilty. Right? Always so guilty.
Another example he uses is that when something amazing happens, something joyful, someone who you adore looks at you and says, Bethany, I love you.
Oh.
See, you did it.
Oh,
it was that breath out.
Yeah.
That relaxing release.
Oh, man.
Which is so different than the panic, you know, the.
Yeah.
Someone says, I love you. Will you spend the rest of your life with me?
And you're like, oh,
yes. Even when you say yes.
Yeah.
It's not, yes, I'll do it.
Yeah. It's not like a.
Yes. It's a release.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Oh, that's so interesting.
So things that bring you pleasure, things that are relaxing, things that don't stress you out, it's all about that satisfying exhale. So inhale fear, exhale love, right?
Oh, geez.
That is how your body treats breathing. That's how your body does it without even thinking. So Rockwood has a theory. He has a technique, three different types of breathing that can override your automatic breathing responses to everyday stresses, and it can help you get better control of your life.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Water breathing, whiskey breathing, coffee breathing. Beverages that everybody likes,
yeah.
Most of us. Water, whiskey, coffee. So water breathing. Water feels good all the time.
Yeah.
It fuels your body, okay?
Yes.
Whiskey, good some of the time, but you don't want to overuse it.
Correct.
And coffee breathing. Coffee in moderation, not a big deal, but when you're addicted to coffee and you overuse it, it's not good for your body. It's not good for your digestion. You're wired, but you're tired.
Yep.
Right? So you want to go through some of Lucas Rockwood's techniques?
Yes.
Okay, water.
Water.
It's all about nose action. Inhale through the nose, exhale through the nose.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to play a little clip. He's going to walk you through it.
Okay.
We'll start with water breathing. It's a very simple practice. It's a 4-4 count. You inhale to the count of four, you exhale to the count of four. Don't worry, you don't have to count, I'll count for you. So you relax, your eyes are closed, your face is relaxed, and off we go. Inhale through your nose, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now exhale through your nose, 4, 3, 2, 1. Inhale through your nose, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now exhale through your nose, 4, 3, 2, 1. Inhale
feels
through
good,
your nose.
Huh?
One,
very good. So that's water breathing?
Two, that's water breathing. Three. Water breathing is great for any time that you need balance in your life.
Water breathing?
Water breathing should be your go-to. I'm the taste buds, I'm going to get so many tweets and messages about how water. I say the word water.
Water.
How am I supposed to? Water.
Water.
Water breathing, like the freaking Queen of England is here.
Water.
Water.
Water. W-A-H-D-E-R. Water. Water.
Yeah. Water breathing.
Well, there you go.
Okay, the next one, whiskey breathing. Caution. Use this only at appropriate times.
Okay, like when?
When you're relaxing, when you're sitting on your couch.
Okay.
When you're laying in your bed. Do not use the whiskey breathing technique when you're operating machinery.
Gotcha.
Caring for a small child or a big child.
Sure.
Hell, they'll burn down the house trying to make Easy Mac.
Yes. As will I.
Okay, so whiskey breathing is the type of breathing that you would use to fall asleep.
Okay.
It's all through your nose and it lowers your heart rate.
But this is different than the all through the nose water breathing.
Yes, exactly. Okay. This is 1, 2, 3, 4 in, and then you exhale 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So I'm going to play a little clip from Lucas Rockwood.
Okay.
Relax your shoulders, relax your face.
Okay, so if you're going to do this with us,
mm-hmm.
relax your shoulders, relax your face.
Don't do it if you're driving.
Put your hands in your lap. If you're driving, keep your hands on the wheel.
Yeah, and don't, and also don't do this.
Keep your eyes open. Don't do this.
Don't do this one.
Don't do this one if you're driving
now.
Okay?
Okay.
Exactly the same as last time. We're breathing in and out through our nose. The only difference is this time we'll inhale to the count of four, and on the way out, we'll double it. We'll go to the count of eight. I'll do the counting. You do the breathing.
A lot of nose breathing.
Relax body. Here we go. Inhale through your nose. 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Again, inhale.
That's
1.
That's hard. I feel like I'm
going
to yawn.
Yeah, let's do
3,
it again.
Okay. 4. Exhale. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I feel kind of relaxed.
Exhale. 8, 7.
Four in, eight out when you're trying to fall asleep.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, that's doable.
Coffee breathing.
Yeah.
Use this type of breath. He warns you. He says in his video, in his YouTube video, we're going to link it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Use this the most sparingly. He wants you to drink more whiskey than coffee, apparently.
Apparently. And I say to that, okay, sir.
And this one isn't about an inhale. It's just an exhale. So you're pushing air out through your nostrils. It feels like a sneeze.
Yeah.
Your body should be mostly still. So this is all from your abdomen. So your shoulders are relaxed. Your face is relaxed. All of the work happens in your lower abdomen. Okay.
Okay. It's all through my nose again?
Yes. All through your nose. It's going to feel like a sneeze. A forceful exhale. So I'm going to let him walk us through it.
Okay.
We'll practice one more this evening. It's coffee breathing. This is the one people get most excited about, but we use it the most sparingly. Coffee breathing is very different than the other two practices. To do it, we focus just on the exhale, and we don't worry about inhale at all. We just push the air out, and it looks and feels just like a sneeze. I'll show you what it looks like.
Oh.
So we exhale through our nose. You make sharp shooting breaths. You do your best to try not to move your face, your shoulders, your chest. Try to make all the energy happen from down here in your lower abdomen. It's an unusual way to breathe. Remember, we don't inhale. We just exhale.
Okay.
We'll
okay.
do 20
right,
rounds together.
You ready?
I'll count you down. Close your eyes so you don't look so funny. Yeah. Body's relaxed. Shoulders are relaxed. 3, 2, 1, we exhale, 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 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Eyes are closed, body's relaxed.
I don't know if I enjoyed that. I don't think I enjoyed that.
Are we supposed to like do little breaths in?
I have no idea.
Between that breaths out or
I'm
just
confused.
Breaths out?
Have you ever taken a yoga class? They call it like fire breathing.
Yeah.
But you have your mouth open when you do it.
Breath of fire, right?
The people who regularly take those classes are so into it. So into it. They're like.
Essentially. That's what I do when Dennis wakes me up in the morning.
Essentially, it's a hiss when it comes out of my mouth. But it's like they put their tongue out like a dog in a cartoon.
Yeah.
And they just let all of that back tonsil breath come out.
It's just like, get it. It's like all of the rage.
So that's what this feels like, but through your nose. Okay, so let me tell you. This type of breathing stimulates the same part of your nervous system where your flight or fight response lives. So if you need a burst of energy, you need to power through some emails, this is a great technique to amp yourself up to get it done. But Rockwood does warn that using this too much can make you agitated.
No kidding, because where do you get the breath in?
I know. So he says 3 rounds of 20 in the morning. 20? I was running out of air after 5.
What?
3 rounds of 20 in the morning, 3 rounds of 20 right before you exercise, 3 rounds of this.
3 rounds of 20.
3 rounds of 20 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon instead of reaching for a sugary snack.
Okay.
Well, I just think that that's a load of shit.
3 rounds of 20 does not feel like it's sparing. 3 rounds of 20 is also 60. Right?
3 rounds of 20 feels like I'm going to pass out.
Like... The math fail in me honors the math fail in you,
so,
but I'm pretty sure that's 60 breaths out.
If this coffee breathing technique where you're breathing rapid fire out through your nose, if that is maybe something that feels good for you.
Yeah, if it serves you.
The whole thing, to wrap up this whole breathing thing, it's just so interesting how we can energize ourselves with only air.
We have been doing this, and full disclosure, we had to take a break. In between the breathing because we needed to give the studio up for a second.
Yeah.
So even like through that break, I still feel really freaking good from all the breathing we've been doing.
I know.
So this is a good thing.
So Rockwood asks at the end of his TED Talk, how would the quality of your life improve if you stopped being on autopilot and started taking control of your mind and your body and your nervous system using something as simple as breathing?
Well, thank you, Mr. Rockwood.
He's onto something.
I can see why they named a music hall after you.
If you're upset, stop for a second and think about how you're breathing.
Yeah. You're not. I promise you, you're just not.
If you're anxious, think about it.
Yeah.
If you are trying to go to sleep, think about it.
So, Kathleen, circling back to where you were at the beginning of this, filled with rage.
Yeah, she's filled with rage.
Which would you have done if you were trying to fall asleep again, but
so
you were filled with rage?
I would have last night when I was fighting with my friend over text message, you know, the best way to communicate with someone.
Yeah, because there's never any disagreements or misunderstandings.
Nope, never. I would have tried the whiskey breathing technique in four, you know, one, two, three, four, in through your nose, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, out through your nose. I would have done that a few times because when I woke up this morning, I was still agitated and I sent off rapid fire text messages this morning that now I'm thinking like, I overreacted and I have to make a, I have to like call her later and make a, make it a little bit better.
You do love your rapid fire text messages.
But yeah, breathing would have changed this little tiff that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know, something to think about, food for thought.
Yeah. Thank you. This was so, 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 so helpful.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
I love this.
All right, Bethany, you're getting very sleepy.
I sure am. I'm going to get some coffee.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I just got snot on the mic.
It's just Mike's snot. That was so cool.
All right, good. My skin is a mess right now. Hot Mess Express.
Anytime the seasons change.
And that is because I went traveling and I didn't take my BioClarity with me like a dum-dum.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. I've got all these big pimples everywhere.
You know what? You're still beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You'll always be beautiful. You can't help yourself. But I know that feeling. If your skin is breaking out, you feel like it's out of control, you want to find something that's going to work. And that's why Kathleen and I have been partnering with BioClarity for years now.
Yes. Their routines were made to help you keep your skin looking healthy, young, and fresh using only natural and gentle ingredients.
So they have two different routines. They have the Clear Skin Routine, which is for oily or breakout-prone skin. Ding, 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 Kathleen and me.
Ding, ding, ding here.
Or the Essentials Routine for normal skin and just essential care. And they both have a three-step regimen that's going to help improve the look and feel of your skin. And both routines are packed full of detoxifying nutrients.
Yeah. What I really like about the Clear Skin Routine is that it helps me with hyperpigmentation, which I get from old acne scars and like, you know, those stubborn breakouts on your chin.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
They also have a super special ingredient found only in BioClarity called Floralux, made from the chlorophyll from plants. BioClarity really has everything you need to get clear, glowing skin. Kathleen and I both use it. We both love it. It's your turn to join the BioClarity Club. By the way, their products are 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which is why we love them. Also paraben-free, sulfate-free, artificial fragrance-free, 100% risk-free, money-back guarantee. They cannot be more free.
And they keep me free of pimples.
Exactly.
So get healthier, more radiant skin by going to BioClarity.com. And right now, our Acquired Taste listeners will save 40% off on skincare routines, plus an additional 15% off of everything on their website. That is an incredible deal.
What's that spray called that they have? They have this amazing spray that I love so much.
With the witch hazel?
Yeah, it's like this witch hazel. It's called Dewy Dew.
That's a great name.
Which is a really good name. And it like sets your makeup, but I would also use it to refresh my makeup. I really love it.
I have literally never received anything from BioClarity that I didn't love.
So again, here's what you're going to do. Go to BioClarity.com and use the code ACQUIRED, ACQUIRED at checkout. And that's going to get you 40% off your skincare routines, plus an additional 15% off everything on the site.
So go to BioClarity.com to get 40% off of your skincare routines, plus an additional 15% off of everything on their website. All you have to do is use our code ACQUIRED at checkout.
BioClarity.com, keyword acquired.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
I've been to your house.
Yes.
So most of the time when I enter your house, I take off my shoes.
And I appreciate it.
As a sign of respect.
Yes.
But is it like a strict rule for you to not wear shoes in the house?
It is, for a couple reasons.
Okay, so tell me why. Because I just read this really interesting article from the New York Times.
Yeah.
And they are putting the crackdown on whether or not people should be taking their shoes off in their house.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm interested to see what they have to say. So I have a couple of reasons. Number one, we live in and around New York City. So walking is a huge part of living in the city, more so than I think most of the country.
Yeah.
Where like cars are what get you around.
And the sidewalks can be dirty.
Yeah. And so I think that there's more of a chance of getting really gross stuff on your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
B, I have little kittens running around the house.
Yeah.
And they're closer to the floor.
Yes.
And I don't want them rolling around in crap. And three, I have a really nice carpet in my bedroom.
You do.
That's like high pile, very, very, very soft.
The carpet in your bedroom is extremely nice.
And it was a Christmas and birthday gift to myself for 2 years cumulatively because that's how much it costs.
I remember so when you got that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like my first nice carpet I ever bought. And so I just really want to keep it nice.
Yeah.
And anytime people walk in on it with shoes, I'm like,
You're like, oh God. You need to get those plastic runners.
I know, like my grandma has.
Like all good aunties have.
What about you? Do you have a hard and fast rule, Kathleen?
I don't have a hard and fast rule, but I don't like it when my husband runs into the bathroom with his sneakers on. I just like prefer the bathroom to not. I mean, like, no. When I have people over to my house, like they mostly keep their shoes on.
Yeah.
I have rolled up carpets before when I had big parties, like, you know, like 15, 20 people over at my apartment.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'll roll up a carpet.
Yeah, that's a lot.
With the hardwood floor. Be the guide. But so the New York Times is addressing this issue because there it's usually like a very divisive thing.
Yeah, I don't like when
shoes in the house or no shoes in the house.
Yeah, and like people sometimes make you seem like an uptight snob if you want people to take their shoes off.
Well, you kind of are.
I'm not. Like, it's a sign of respect of my stuff. B, go to hell.
No, and I'm being a jerk, you know, playing devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. But in Asian cultures, it's like, yes, a huge sign of respect. And you don't walk in the house with your shoes on.
Right.
So the New York Times, should you take your shoes off at home? This article is by Christopher Mealy, and we'll link to it in our show notes. So some people, they kick off their shoes at home because they just want to be more comfortable.
Sure.
That's sort of me. I want to get my shoes off. I'm like a barefoot person, right?
Yeah, same.
So a lot of people don't let others, including themselves, wear shoes inside the home because they're afraid of germs. They're afraid of, you know, dirt and icky stuff from the outside world.
And like poo.
So researchers tracked new shoes worn by 10 participants for 2 weeks. And they found that bacteria like E. coli were extremely common on the outside of shoes. E. coli is known for causing intestinal infections. And
makes you vomit and poo.
Yeah, urinary tract infections among
other. It's what you get when you go on a cruise.
Among other illnesses. The study also indicated that bacteria can be tracked by shoes over a long distance. So like far away from your home, not just like outside your house, into your home or your personal space. And one of the people that was working on the study said, it is making me think twice before putting my feet on my desk. You know, you put your feet up.
Yeah.
You put your feet up. Think about that.
Don't do that.
Yeah. You know, you put it up on like the kitchen table. You're just chilling. You still got your shoes on. So ultimately, dun, 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 drum roll. Dun, you ready? Dun, dun. Contaminated shoes are unlikely to make you sick. So you don't need to be too worried about it.
Really?
It is possible to transmit germs from your footwear if you touch your shoes, then you touch your mouth or your face, for instance, or if you eat food that's been dropped on the floor.
Oh, which I do.
But the chances are they're slim. So here's when you should take off your shoes. It's best to take off your shoes if you have young children crawling around on the floors, or people at home have allergies, because pollen can be transferred to floors and carpets through your shoes.
Oh, I didn't think about pollen.
That's not something you think about a lot. In cases where you have someone living at home where your immune system is compromised, people with cancer, undergone, you know, surgeries and that kind of stuff, you want to take your shoes off. But in the hierarchy of potential health hazards in your home, bacteria cake shoes rank pretty low.
That is surprising.
Here are other places that you should be paying attention to in your house, more so than your shoes. Sponges. Sponges, Bethany, leave your shoes on, throw your sponge out, go get a new sponge. Do you know, I caught my little brother's kind of a germaphobe. I caught him balling up paper towels and using that to clean his dishes because he is so terrified of sponges.
As he should be.
I said to him, get a sponge, like a big one from the supermarket, whatever, cut it into four pieces. So the whole thing is not sitting in your sink.
That's a good idea.
And you have at least a little bit of a sponge to wash a dish and you're not like wasting paper towels.
Yeah, they also say like if you microwave your sponge, like get it wet and then microwave it.
I will do that. I will do that frequently outside the home. This is more so than your shoes. Your shoes make no difference, Bethany. But when you're outside using the ATM, that's what you really need to be worried about. Gas stations, the handles, the pumps, that's what you need to be worried about. Really, the most important thing you can do is wash your hands with soap and water. But Lisa A. Kuchera, she's a professor of biomedical sciences at Quinnipiac University in Hampton, Connecticut. She said, don't worry too much about your shoes. This is what you should worry about when you're in a public restroom. Everybody's like, oh, the toilet is so gross. But it's not the toilet that you should be afraid of. It's the public restroom floor.
Really?
So public restrooms, the floor, has 2 million bacteria per square inch. A public toilet seat, on the other hand, has only 50 bacteria per square inch.
See, that makes sense, though.
Next time you place your handbag or your knapsack, your backpack, whatever, on the floor in a public bathroom... And then you bring it home and then you put it on the couch or the kitchen counter.
But sometimes they don't give you hooks. What the hell are you supposed to do?
I know. When it doesn't give me the hook, I always look for like the cleanest corner.
Yeah.
Or I try, if I'm wearing a backpack, I wear it on the front. But I'm short-waisted, so it's probably...
It's tough. There's one bathroom that I use where, like, it's a full bathroom. There's a door, and the door does not have a hook. But because it's a door, there's also no corner to hang in from. And, like, the hinge is greasy, so there's really nowhere to put it. And I'm like, how dare you?
That's when you stuff it up your shirt and tuck your shirt into your pants, and you wear it like a belly. So, in the end... Don't worry too much about taking your shoes off at home.
Here's another reason I want people to take their shoes off.
No.
Because there are cats underfoot. And if you step on a cat by accident with a shoe, bad news.
I stepped on a little 3-pound cat this morning. Luckily, it was with my bare feet.
Yeah.
I did something really basic bitch this weekend.
What'd you do?
Okay, so LL Bean was having a sale on winter boots. I must have sent 75 people I know this link to this sale, including Bethany. And Bethany's like, why are you sending this to me?
Kathleen, I have to admit something to you.
Wait, did you buy bean boots?
I bought a pair of duck boots.
Bethany, oh my God, I bought a pair of duck boots too.
They were on sale. They were on sale.
They're so seldom on sale.
I showed them. So they came when Dennis was over and he was like, wait, these are brown and blue. You only wear black. I did not picture you in duck boots. Uh-huh. And I was like, I know, but they were on sale and they're going to last forever.
And there's a lifetime warranty. So you know the link in bio thing when you're scrolling through Instagram and it's like, for the full story, click the link in bio.
Yeah.
I love the Today Show's Instagram. I think they have really good stories there.
Yeah.
So the Today Show did an article on how the LL Bean duck boots are on sale and they're never on sale, so you should buy them. So I bought a pair. You bought a pair.
I bought a pair.
And then I did something else that's so basic.
What'd you do?
I bought a pair of sort of like UGG-like slippers, like the LL Bean version of UGGs.
Yeah.
To only wear in my home so I can wear them in my bed.
House shoes. A good pair of house shoes. Here's my question.
Yeah, bed shoes.
Do I need... So they say to get a size smaller because they run big.
Yeah.
So I'm normally a true 9. Mm-hmm. I ordered an 8.
Is it too tight?
I'm worried it might be too tight.
I ordered a size 7, which is usually what I am.
I think I have to like return them and get a 9.
This is really interesting podcast fodder.
I know.
Us talking about our shoes. But the LL Bean duck boot is like, it's a classic.
Yeah.
I used to think it was so ugly. And then I had a friend who went to Cornell in college and she came back and she's like, everybody's wearing the duck boot.
I don't have any winter boots. Yeah. I truly don't have any winter boots. I wear high heels in the winter because they keep you above the snow. So like I needed like a pair of proper winter boots.
A pair of proper winter boots.
Here
and they're kind of like the best boots out there.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if there's a seasonal product that's out right now, so I have a whole list of things I need to get at Trader Joe's this week.
Yeah.
Including, you know when you eat a cinnamon sticky bun and you know there's that like sticky, sugary, syrupy stuff inside the bun.
I do know that.
Bethany, they sell it in the jar now.
What the hell is
it? They sell it in the jar at Trader Joe's and it is called...
I thought it was just like caramelized sugar.
Uh-uh. It is called cinnamon bun spread, which is, you know, self-explanatory.
I like that.
So there's all of this amazing stuff in your grocery stores right now, your Trader Joe's, your specialty food markets. Stock up.
Yeah.
Because once Thanksgiving hits and once Christmas hits, there's not going to be this amazing fall stuff, but you're still going to want those fall flavors when you're making desserts or whatever.
Yeah.
So buy extras now.
Good point.
Buy the cinnamon waffles, like the pumpkin waffles now, so you can eat them on Christmas morning because they will be sold out when you go food shopping the week of Christmas.
I appreciate that. And you can freeze so much of it. My mom once told me like when cranberries are in season, buy bags and bags and bags of cranberries and then freeze them and they will last you all year long.
Yes, they will, because you know what cranberries are great in? Like smoothies.
Yep. Antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
They're antioxidants.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Okay, I actually learned something I was very embarrassed I didn't know.
Oh no.
Have you seen any of the original Star Wars movies?
Yeah, I have, but I don't remember any of them, but I've seen them. I remember thinking Harrison Ford was really hot when I was 10.
So hot. Okay, so there's a quote in Star Wars, A New Hope, where Han Solo says that the Millennium... It's the first one.
Okay.
Where Han Solo says that the Millennium Falcon made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. Okay?
Come again?
Right. So it's this... Whatever. I always thought that a parsec was just a made-up unit of distance.
Oh.
Turns out I was watching another movie where they mentioned a parsec and I said to Dennis, oh, so which came first, Star Wars or this movie? Like who stole it from who? And he looked at me and he's like, a parsec is a real thing.
What?
Did you know a parsec is a real thing?
No.
I didn't know that either.
I'm a fan of parsnips.
I am as well. They are delicious.
Delicious root vegetable.
So a parsec is a unit of length.
According to who?
According to Wikipedia and science.
Well,
it's a unit of length where you're measuring like such hugely long, like galaxy long distances.
Oh.
So it's... It's like
from here to an alien.
Right. I mean, one parsec is approximately 31 trillion kilometers or 19 trillion miles. So there you go. It's a real thing. Totally thought it had been made up by science fiction.
Amazing.
It's a little bit like the Necronomicon is like this fake Book of the Dead that was created by H.P. Lovecraft. But then he had some other friends who were also authors and they put the Necronomicon in their books to make it seem real.
A Necronomicon, isn't that when you like to have sex with dead people?
That's necrophilia. Close. but it's not a real thing. But people legitimized it by like all playing around with it. I thought a parsec was that. It's not. So there you go. That's what I learned this
week. You know
what,
Bethany? Somebody is going to be listening to this, and then they're going to go to bar trivia, and they're going to win the night because you revealed that fact.
If any of our fun facts and things we learned this week helped you win at bar trivia, please let us know.
Speaking of random fun facts and just things in general that you want to share with us, I'm really interested in hearing your embarrassing stories.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you why. Do you remember that magazine when we were kids called YM?
YM.
Young and Modern.
Young and Modern.
And they had a whole section of really embarrassing stories.
And so often it was like, so I went on a date with this really hot guy. He finally talked to me. And I'd bought him for so long. And then we about to kiss. And then I threw up in his mouth. Like, I don't know how many people claim to have thrown up in people's open mouths. Do you remember this part of it?
Yes,
and
yes.
And I threw up in his mouth. Like, and I was so embarrassed.
And my tampon string was hanging out the back of my skull.
And then I threw up in his mouth. And I was mortified.
Farted. I want to hear your embarrassing stories. It can be from when you were a kid. It can be that happened yesterday. I accidentally sent an email. There's a very nice gentleman here. His name is Ben. He schedules our studio here at Audio Boom NYC.
And blushes easily.
And we were trying to book a studio time a few weeks ago. And he's like, oh, I'm so sick. I can't make it. And I went, oh, feel better. Heart emoji. Bethany, this is a total stranger. That was borderline harassment.
It was not. I don't think he felt harassed.
I'm so embarrassed.
It's okay.
Oh, feel better. Heart emoji. I don't know this man that well.
I know someone who consistently accidentally tells her Uber drivers she loves them as she gets out. Because she tells everyone she loves them. And so it bleeds over. And she's like, thank you. Love you. Crap.
Sorry. I don't love you. But thank you.
So if you have embarrassing stories, we would love to hear them. We would also love to hear your spooky stories.
Yes.
Because we're getting to that time. So shoot us an email and a question. AcquiredTastePodcast@gmail.com.
Listen, if you don't have a spooky story that's, you know, unique to you, to your person, make one up.
Well, I want real ones, though.
You minored in creative writing.
I want real ones. They're scarier if you know they're real.
I don't know. Don't tell us if it's real or not.
We'll know if it's real.
No,
or not.
Bethany, we may not be able to tell.
All right. Anyway, where else can people find us, Kathleen?
I'm at WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. That's MS Bethany Watson. You can also follow the show on social media.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Also our fan page. Check them out. Something amazing happened on our fan page.
Mm-hmm.
There was a taste bud who was just sharing some hardships in life. And she said, I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal. And a bunch of our taste buds got together, put some money in a fund, and now this taste bud has food in her belly.
That's
so
amazing.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Send us some snail mail. We have a P.O. Box. That's Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
We also have a phone number. You can call and leave us a voicemail. Now, we have one taste bud. We don't normally do this, but we have one taste bud who has been calling us and has some frustrations that she wants to talk about. We can't, and has been asking for us to get back to her. We can't because you're calling from a blocked or private number.
Yeah, called twice now. It says unknown caller.
Right, so if you can even just call and leave us your email address or something, we can get back to you. We just don't want you to get frustrated that you're not hearing back from us. And we can't respond to everyone, but she has some specific things she wants to talk about.
Yeah.
So just send us either a phone number or an email. We will get back to you.
Uh-huh.
But you can call us, and that phone number is 917-994-0353.
If you want to send us an email, our email address is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Oh, that feels good.
It does. And taste buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, guys. It is Kaylee from Vegas. I was listening to the bonus episode, and I had to stop because you were talking about all the apple spills. If you watch Charmed, they actually explain that whole cutting the apple in half and tentacle thing. I'm pretty sure it was to ward away evil spirits and, like, make a barrier type of thing. Obviously, Charmed is, you know, whatever. But time is also perfect, and that's how I know that.
Kathleen, I have a bone to pick with you. You did a piss-poor job explaining Unbelievable on Netflix, but have no fear. I'm here to help you out. So not only is it about people trying to catch this serial rapist, but it's actually based on true events of this girl who got raped and no one believed her. And as much as I love you, Kathleen, I feel like that's important for people to know because I don't feel like it's only like a show to watch, but you know, it opened up my eyes to a lot crime wise, I guess, per se of, you know, other people don't believe people of what they're saying. Although you did a terrible job explaining it, I still love you, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany, my name is Kayla. I just got done listening to your guys' latest podcast. Kathleen, you had mentioned sleep paralysis and how fascinating it is. Well, I actually experienced sleep paralysis before. So let me tell you, it is anything from fascinating. It's actually quite terrifying. Basically, what happened was I was laying face down, so like laying on my stomach, and I had like my head turned. And I woke up and it felt like that I couldn't move, like really completely paralyzed, but like I was awake, like I could open my eyes and I can like look around and see what's happening. And in the corner of my room, I saw like this dark hooded figure with its back towards me.
Hi ladies, this is Allie from Connecticut. Just wanted to share that I just finished listening to the Most Latest podcast and it's super creepy because I'm stuck in traffic right now. Bumper to bumper, they're doing construction, it's terrible. It's super foggy and I just listened to you guys talk about the scary stories and the semi-truck behind me, their brakes sound like a screaming animal and it's scaring the daylights out of me.
Hi ladies, it's Megan from Texas. I was just calling to let Bethany know that she's not alone in her poblano struggle. Me and my boyfriend have a poblano plant at our apartment and so I picked some and was making them with our eggs for breakfast and I absentmindedly just rubbed my eye and all of a sudden it started absolutely burning. Later after breakfast, I am using the bathroom and I was on my period and I use a diva cup so I kind of had to, you know, get in there. And after I take it out and put it back in, I feel a much duller but definite burning down there. That was a fun experience and when Bethany was telling her story, I just could not help but remember this horrible moment. So, word to the wise, be careful with poblanos.